This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Mississippi State's kicker's name is Massimo Biscardi.
Yeah.
What?
Recording.
Massimo Biscardi.
Oh, my God. They're really going to do this.
I live in Starkville, Mississippi.
Starkville the least Italian word in the world?
Starkville. It's my villa.
Should I just start in space?
Yeah, fucking fire it up.
Yeah, let's go. Let's go.
Twitter probably shuts down at midnight.
Yeah, who knows? So. Yeah, listen, this is great because Elon has to press the button. He's the only one
left.
There's
no one else who can do it.
Yeah, that's it.
Kaiju.
Oh no,
mystery
they had a
crime
still.
And pie. That's the best combo yet.
Did you see, this is earlier in the game, by the way, where Auburn, of course, came back from like a zillion points down to go ahead. Then while they were doing that, to call a timeout, Cadillac Williams, their interim coach, and yes, former Auburn running back, great, pulled his hamstring.
No,
totally he pulled a hammy trying to call a timeout. Like, he sprinted down, called it, and then limped gimpily back with his hand on the back of his leg.
Two things. One, are we waiting to hit 1,000 per usual?
Yes.
Even though, like, probably a lot of people don't have Twitter anymore.
Are there 1,000 people on Twitter? Let's
find
out.
We got 985.
Here we go.
All right, we hit it.
Yo,
Last space in the history of Twitter.
And
yeah.
Mississippi State's field goal was short, so we're going to overtime. Spencer, start the show.
Let's start the show while the Twitter still exists. Brain genius.
Full cast after dark for men.
Welcome to the full cast after dark.
Scree! Scree! Scree!
Moo!
Oh, the night cow!
That's right.
All hail the night cow! welcome to our recap of the week that was in college football. I am Spencer Hall. I am joined by Ryan Annie, a.k.a. Celebrity Hot Tub, and by Jason Kirk. That's at @TheJasonKirk on Twitter.com. We're going to be here until the site stops working. That's kind
I
of
love,
a...
This is the first time in the history of the shutdown forecast we have plugged our Twitter handles.
Twitter's
going to exist
that's why I'm doing it.
I want to be clear. He's doing it on Twitter to people who already follow us.
Yeah, that's right.
That's good shit.
I have to.
Follow me on Mastodon.
Do this.
On Mastodon, it's a long series of letters, numbers, and backslashes, and you have to. You're going to need to learn Linux.
Boost our toots,
Photoshop,
please. Boost our toots.
Boost my florps. Florps are now likes. It's really simple.
Me.
It's like emailing a person who has not email. It's so simple.
Yeah, please join me in the non-sexual hentai and Warhammer room. That is, we can't just discuss things. You have to tell somebody in public.
Please join me in the respectful hentai club.
Yeah. Join me in the Florps room where you can fave all of our toots. That's the idea.
Let's also clarify that Holly is not here Mm-hmm. Not, I don't think specifically because Tennessee lost, but Spencer, you probably know best.
Yeah. She was a no-go for the Tennessee game due to throwing her back out and is on the DL tonight. So everybody have a thought for the injured reserve. She's fine. She's just her back. But yeah, on the DL tonight. So not because Tennessee lost. She was more than happy to face the music there. It was more getting through throwing out her back. So we're going to have to discuss. Oh, no, we'll have to discuss Tennessee-Georgia for her, which I've got like 3 seconds on Tennessee-Georgia. That's it, which is Georgia's better. Georgia's better. Yeah. They're better at football.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty much.
Despite the little number that was affixed to the team names a few days earlier.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would like to say one thing that I'm proud of. Not Georgia the team, but Georgia the fan base for.
Mm-hmm.
So quickly, Georgia fans have jumped to that like peak Alabama place where they beat you, and they're like, "How dare you have the temerity to even envision a world where our team would lose? You fool! You fucking piece of shit! Simpleton child idiot!"
Mm-hmm.
This shit changes so fast because, like, for years, Georgia fans were basically Michigan fans in terms of, like, paranoia and anxiety.
Yes. But
we're winning by 1 point. Oh, we're fucked. Right?
Like, the Lord hates us and he wants us to suffer. But now they're like, we are God's favorite boy and you don't even deserve to live in this town.
Clemson fans were like this, too. But then now they suck. So they're back to Clemson fans now, hopefully.
Yeah. They turned into Dr. Doom overnight, right? Like, how dare you question Doom? How dare you? And I'm like, I remember when you were broke. I have more money than God.
Is Georgia, so not medical doctor.
Yes, doctor of theology.
You can't spell national championship without nation, and that's what Dr. Doom has, and so does Georgia.
Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, Dr. Doom.
Please stop your prattling, less than mortal.
He believes only men can be Dr. Doom.
Podiatrist with a 2 handicap, Dr. Doom.
I have a tea time. Make it brief, Spider-Man. That's new Georgia fans, all of you. And by the way, it's going to be great when you go back to like winning 4 games when, I don't know, Kirby is abducted by aliens
in two years
or whatever.
We can't do this. They're Bama now. They're Bama now, so we don't get to wish cast like that.
They're not Bama now. Bama's like a 5-4 team.
Bama's like a 3-4 team.
Georgia's good.
Bama's like peak Mississippi State right now. Oh.
I mean, what does that even mean? What is that? That's a phrase that means nothing to me. Peak Mississippi State.
Yeah,
Mississippi State ranked number one.
That's right. True. Yeah, put some respect on their name, Ryan. They were ranked
number one.
Tennessee was ranked number one.
Yeah, it was very mean that ESPN was like, did you know Mississippi State is the only team that's been ranked number one in the first college football playoff that missed the playoff entirely? Go Vols.
Yeah.
Why did you do that?
They did this every year. They're like, folks, you might not believe this, but Mississippi State was good for several weeks.
Remember that dipshit neighbor of yours? He was rich once, but then he blew it all.
Exactly. Like, you walk out of the door and you turn on the radio and somebody's like, hey, Spencer Hall's never died in a plane crash before.
He's the first guy
named Spencer Hall to never die in a plane crash. I'm like, I'm getting on a plane today. Is that bad?
It's every ad it's every stupid like bot generated ad you see on a website that's like, see how horrible this celebrity looks today. It's like, that's remembering Mississippi State's one day in the sun.
Yeah, you're like, it's me. It's me. Why am I on this site?
Yep.
2014 Mississippi State football with the headline, "What's wrong with her?"
God, that would be such a great bot that you could put into people's browsers if it changed one photo on those celebrity stories to you, right? Like, see how this child star grew up to ruin.
Yeah.
Like, what? That's me. Fuck.
Ugliest baby.
Yeah. It's a picture of me last week. Like, what? Jesus.
I would also like to acknowledge that Georgia didn't just beat Tennessee. They did it in, like, the two meanest ways possible to Tennessee. They completely dismantled Tennessee's offense, mostly their passing, or I guess most notably their passing offense, where for weeks everybody's been like, they have all these receivers and they just scheme them open and you can't do anything. It's just amazing. Every play is like, you know, 20 yards guaranteed. And it's like, fuck that. you get nothing. You get 195 yards passing.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, they were like, Stetson Bennett's going to stunt on you. Absolutely, he's going to stunt on you.
If there's one thing Stetson's going to do, it's stunt.
It's just the meanest shit. And then you look at his stats, and you're like, he only threw 25 passes.
Mm-hmm.
But he absolutely fucking stunted on you.
Yeah, and then they shut it down.
Did a little bit of footwork on the way, like he does.
Yeah.
Yes.
They did a little bit of they did, I think, the most demoralizing thing, which is not throwing to Brock Bowers, but it's throwing to a guy named Ladd fucking McConkey.
Yep.
Jesus Christ.
And then the broadcast gets to do the fun thing where they're like, well, this team full of five stars just here we got a walk-on quarterback throwing to a two-star because it's just humble blue-collar Georgia football winning with anybody that they can.
This is my favorite thing because it's like the band where it's like the drummer went to Berklee School of Music and the bass player also attended Berklee School of Music and the guitarist studied with several avant-garde jazz musicians and the lead
Fred
the singer
Durst.
The singer is Fred Durst. And you're like, well, Fred's still getting it done, man. This biscuit is very limp. It is so like, yes, and our lead singer, we found him working at a 7-Eleven.
Also, absolutely fucking thank you to whoever pointed out that, like, slightly sad and perturbed Josh Heupel looks exactly like Bobby Hill.
Yeah, it's unavoidable. It's completely accurate.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, they didn't have a whole lot of answers because guess what Georgia's answer was? We'll cover you in man. That's it. That was it. Yeah. It was like, yeah, no, we'll just put a dude on you.
Yeah.
Turns out we can do that.
Yeah.
I feel like there was this idea that like Tennessee was just going to be running free. I didn't see that happening. I saw Georgia running free. So.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, Captain Clutch, Keely Ringo's stats, if you look at him, for a collegiate career, it's going to be like he made three interceptions, and all of them were crippling, back-breaking. Like, Keely Ringo only busts out his finest for games where he could look like an absolute superhero. Much respect to him.
Georgia also had the best fucking punt of the year in this game.
The last team that needs a good punter apparently
has the best punter.
Has an incredible punter, a 74-yarder, I believe, that bounced out at the one.
We should let Rodrigo Blankenship come back and, like, maybe not play for eligibility reasons, but he should just get to hang out and, like, enjoy all the cool vibes.
That punt should have counted as a full Iowa punt because it let's be honest, there was a safety. It didn't matter, and, like, the next play was a Georgia touchdown anyway. But, yeah, this game should have been even worse for Tennessee.
Yep.
Yeah. By the way, I believe it is Todd Monken, who's the offensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. One of the few coaches that I'd actually be like, yeah, that's totally worth whatever you're paying him.
Yes. They are, and has been.
They're so tricky. They are so difficult to defend in every single way because every time you go, well, shit, Stetson's a problem, they start running the ball, and you're like, well, I don't know. All those running backs are a problem. And whatever you decide to fix, they just poke another hole in the fence. It's astonishing. Truly dogs you cannot control with any fence. It is they're a handful, man. I don't know. They're real good. That's my summary. Georgia.
Auburn just lost.
Huh.
Fuck. Yeah.
As Ryan ruining the tradition of winning the game after you fire the coach. Is that where we're at?
Yes, correct.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know, when you let Mike Leach onside for no reason.
Which at least ultimately didn't matter, but
yeah.
All right, let's address another boogeyman for the time being. Jason and I were talking about this before you got on, Spencer. I'd be curious what you have to say.
Okay.
Is this a blood week as we stand right now?
No.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Like I mean, even if you said that it met the print criteria for being a blood week,
it didn't feel like a blood week to you.
No, because I think a lot of these, we kind of knew the rankings were a little borked anyway.
Sure.
And because until tonight, the results were somewhat ordinary and predictable. I think nobody was surprised by Georgia beating Tennessee because of the way they did it.
Sure. And, Tennessee was, what, a 9-point dog in that game?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So I don't think it's a blood week at all. All
right.
Interesting, yes. Intriguing, by all means. Blood right. Week, no.
Well, let's talk about the game that made that possibility the most likely.
Okay.
Clemson had no points entering the fourth quarter of their game on the road against Notre Dame. That had happened to Clemson not that long ago. The season opening loss to Georgia last year. Now, Georgia, of course, went on to win the national championship with a legendary defense. Notre Dame has lost to Stanford and Marshall. The last time before that game that Clemson was shut out for the first three quarters of a game was a 2003 loss to Wake Forest.
Oh, God. Is that a Bowden loss, by the way? Like, yes. Okay, all right.
Yes, and it's like, we think we got something cooking here, Bowden. It's not like, this isn't working anymore.
Yeah.
Clemson looked like shit.
We have a couple of, sick man of Europe teams to talk about tonight.
Okay, yeah.
And by sick man of Europe, I mean, wow, you were some shit in 1615. It's 1740, though.
Well,
these other guys, they don't respect archers anymore. Turns out they,
It's the... I think Clemson played picked the wrong century to oppose the Catholics, because...
What a moment for Dabo Swinney.
Turned out poorly. Lost a bunch of papists.
Lost extremely bad. Extremely, the notion of being this inert offensively is astonishing to me, given the, pre-Deshaun Watson, going back to Taj Boyd. Like, Clemson scored. They scored. They had moments where that scoring was interrupted. See Taj Boyd getting housed by Florida State when we all thought Clemson was about to turn the corner. But they've been in a morass for a couple of years that we thought, okay, well, they'll just, they'll put in Cade Klubnik, turn the corner, and here we go. That has not happened. That apparently will not happen because they are going to allow DJ Uiagalelei to flail and to throw pick sixes.
Cade Klubnik played in this game.
Oh, he did play. No.
One pass was caught.
Yeah, it was caught. Not necessarily by the right people. What the hell? Like, is this just where, Ryan, I think you might have hit it on the head by saying this just isn't working in terms of the way they do everything.
I mean, Notre Dame's defense played very well because even though the quarterback situation is the one that stands out as what the fuck's going on with Clemson.
Mm-hmm.
And this includes sacks, obviously. Clemson tonight rushed 25 times for 90 yards.
Yeah.
Notre Dame ran the ball 47 times for 263 yards.
Mm-hmm.
There are times where you get shut out because you are moving the ball, but things are bogging down, or you are missing field goals, or you
turning
are
the
turning
over.
The ball over in bad places. And most of these Clemson drives don't go past the 50. Until they scored their first touchdown, which happened with 10 minutes left in the game, after they're already down in a 28-0 hole, I believe Clemson only snapped the ball in Notre Dame territory, it looks like, four times. That's it?
Yeah, man. Yeah, that's inert.
Yeah.
That's inert. You're a noble gas. This is the noble gas offense.
But you're right? Noble.
You're noble, and you're not doing anything. You're certainly not doing anything to help. Again, a great defense. The part of the team that didn't fall off, right? Even though you lost your coordinator. You're still not doing shit. It's unreal.
This felt on time. Clemson catching not just a loss, a decisive loss to an unranked team felt very, very, very on time. This was anticipated. You know what I mean? I don't know if people knew if it would be this or South Carolina, but I'm glad we are now in a situation where it is less likely we will have to tolerate Clemson losing a playoff game by 40 points and that being 33% of the playoff for the year.
And it's not even, at least from my perspective, it's not even I'm fucking tired of Clemson. I understand that some people are, but there has been no game this season of consequence. It's yes, you beat Boston College 31-3. Fucking whoop-de-doo. there's been no game of consequence where you're like, oh, Clemson consistently shows that they like can do that thing, that they can be like an interesting playoff participant. And yeah, that's fine. You don't have to be that every year. They're still probably going to win 10 games, go to a good bowl game. Very likely looking like they're going to play UNC in the ACC title game at this point?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, you know? I mean, this is still a likely conference champ, maybe an Orange Bowl, probably top 10, top 15 ranking for the second year in a row. And this is, you know, things are fine at Clemson. Like, not wanting them in the playoff isn't at all, like, anything about being tired of them other than their head coach and his whole, you know, personality. But, like, it is specifically this 2022 team is bullshit. This is a bullshit team.
And they still,
in
look,
terms of playoff level.
And they still might end up in a spot where
they could still make it.
Yeah. You look at it and you're sort of, there is a path where you're like, well, we have to give it to them. They have the best resume out there.
Yeah.
Nah.
It's that path still exists.
It's not impossible.
Here's the fucked up reason why that path exists. Spencer, what's UNC's record right now?
Are they 8-1?
They are 8-1.
Yeah. Are we really going to do this with the ACC, though?
No. It could be a top 10 conference title game, and that could be the thing that gets the number 4 in there.
Because here's the other thing. UNC still has to play Wake and NC State, both of whom are currently in the bottom but hanging in the top 25, but are, like, interesting teams. Georgia Tech is frisky, if nothing else. That's their third team. If they get to the ACC championship game undefeated, the irony there will be that then we will have a matchup of two teams who, assuming Clemson wins out as well, this would be an undefeated ACC championship game, except they both lost to Notre Dame.
I love Notre Dame being in this role because they are the original, we'll take the playoff spot that we don't deserve.
Sure.
This is them being like, brother, you don't want this life. We know it. We're going to keep you out of it. Going to do you a solid.
Every year, that bullshit playoff team is either Notre Dame, Oklahoma, or Clemson.
I'm going to serve this up, and I think there are two ways. I'm going to let Jason decide where we go with it. Jason, this win for Notre Dame was their sixth, which means they're bowl eligible.
Uh-huh.
What does that make you think of today?
For me personally, wow. So there's a high road and a low road, isn't
it? Yes, your buddy, we're on the same page. You pick road you want to take.
The high road is, in fact, topographically speaking, actually quite flat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let's get the good news. Let's do the good news
let's
first and
it.
Save the
let's
fun stuff for
do
later.
It.
You're bowl eligible, Kansas Jayhawks.
Print the shirts.
Yes.
The shirts have been printed. That is a thing now. And for the first time all year, I'm like, you know what? Thinking about it, that's a pretty good keepsake because it hasn't existed since 2008. Kansas is going to a bowl, and they could go to a decent one. Not only do they have a nice win, they'll have a nice ranking, they'll have an excited fan base that whatever bowl is, you know, we'll keep that in mind. But, beating Oklahoma State because, I don't know, Mike Gundy's busy. He probably runs Twitter now.
He's the eighth and final employee of Twitter.
He's like the head of moderation at Twitter,
yep,
probably.
Yep.
Losing KU beating OSU, who was number 9 last week. Nobody will believe that or remember it. Beating them by 21.
No.
That's one of the best things about this Kansas team getting bowl eligible is you look at the schedule, and it's like, these wins are legit? Like, all wins are wins.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, beat Houston by 18. Beat West Virginia on the road by 13.
Beat fellow bowl eligible Duke
by 8. The losses are mostly close, or at least were close for long stretches of the game. Like, there is not a case that, like, oh, this is just some ephemeral bullshit and the good for Kansas, but they've had like a lot of lucky bounces or something this year. Nah, mm-hmm. Man. Like, Kansas has just been a very solid team.
Yeah, I would say unlucky bounces. Like, they've had quarterback injury. You know,
that's
like,
right. Sure. They did this with their backup today. Let's mention that. That's right. The bean.
Yep. Yeah. Not as unlucky bounces as, of course, their former rivalry partners, The Missouri Tigers. Jesus Christ, Mizzou.
Explain. Okay, please.
You. No, I'd like you to explain this.
No. I need to ask.
Not responsible for this.
All right. Let me get to.
You tell me. You tell me what the fuck happened, because as it was sort of explained to me was
right.
Game winning roughing the punter.
All right. I'm gonna find the official like AP description of it. Okay. I'm just gonna read this verbatim. Incredibly, it was the Wildcats, 6-3, bowl eligible, who benefited from their own special teams misfire, staking claim to a win, making them bowl eligible. Well, I shouldn't have said it the first time.
Okay.
Lining up for a punt on 4th-and-4 from their own 41-yard line with 2:34 left, Kentucky long snapper Drew Perry sailed the snap over the head of punter Colin Goodfellow. Remember, they were at their own 41, who chased the loose ball down at the 4-yard line. Goodfellow managed to turn back upfield and boot the ball away just as he was tackled by Missouri linebacker Will Norris. A flag immediately came out, and after a discussion, the officials penalized Norris for roughing the punter, determining that Goodfellow had remained within the tackle box and by resuming a punting motion had maintained the protection of a punter. Goodfellow was injured on the play and was carted off the field. The play enabled Kentucky to run all but 38 seconds off the clock. They ended up winning this game by 4 points.
Retained the protection of a punter.
This is some like
diplomatic immunity.
This mm-hmm. I was gonna say, this is like playing somebody in Magic the Gathering who knows the rules extremely well and
yeah.
is like, ah, but I played this card combined with these other two, and that means the protection of the punter still applies and you lose.
Behold the protection of the punter.
I cast protection of the punter.
Protection of the punter.
Like, there's no indicator. There's no, like, hovering arrow over him that says, like, punter protection still applies.
I'm going punter mode.
No, I want to tell you this, by the way. Colin Goodfellow, though he is named Colin.
Yeah.
And I think has a name that could easily be from our friends down under.
Sure.
Colin Goodfellow is not an Aussie punter. And this is how I know that this was both an intentional play and that it could not have been pulled off with an Aussie punter. Because
yeah.
when Mark Stoops pulls you over on the sideline and says, hey, listen, this is the only way we're going to win this game. I need you to go out there and get absolutely maimed. Stay in the tackle box, okay? Go back like 37 yards. And, son, what I need you to do is volunteer to get absolutely dump trucked for this team. The Aussie would have been like, nah, mate. Nah, it's not worth it. Not doing it. Nah.
So Missouri.
I'll just go back home and go to college for free.
I'll go get health care in college for
mate,
free. Dumbasses.
I'm 37. I got two kids.
Yeah, 37. I got two
kids. Can you do this in front of me, grandkids?
Yeah.
Do they say me? I don't know.
Boy.
Like, oh, now. But the Colin Goodfellow, of course, is from Ohio, so he's like, yes, sir. I'll get on it.
Yeah. This
yeah.
is,
don't even pay me.
This is the first living experience I've ever had.
So this is now the situation that presents itself for our dear Missouri Tigers, who have also, it should be noted, lost to Auburn in what is to date Auburn's only conference win, I believe.
Cool.
Sounds right.
Yes, that is correct.
I wonder what happened just before the game. Surely they didn't extend Eli Drinkwitz to a 2-year extension, did they?
And it should be noted, the Auburn loss was because Missouri, as they were about to score a touchdown in overtime, fumbled into the end zone.
So what I'm hearing is that, yes, they definitely extended him this weekend
yeah.
for 2 years. Yeah.
So Here's what presents itself for Missouri. Since bowl eligibility seems to be the theme here, Missouri 4-5. Next game, they get to go on the road to play a probably feeling somewhat bad and mad Tennessee team. Not feeling great about that.
Last year, I believe Tennessee ran for 400 yards against them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Next, after that, they get New Mexico State at home. Mexico State, not a good team, so I'm willing to go to 5 there.
Okay.
And then they close the season with Arkansas. Let's flip over to Arkansas, and we'll get to today.
Literally,
before we
Jesus.
Do, Arkansas is 5-4. Arkansas just needs one win to get bowl eligibility. Their next games are two home games. One is against LSU, and we're going to talk about what LSU did tonight as well. And the other is against Ole Miss. And then they travel to Mizzou. So it seems incredibly likely, not guaranteed, that we are going to get Arkansas and Missouri stumbling into each other, both 5-6, both with some incredibly stupid and painful losses.
This is a pain.
And only one will emerge bowl eligible. Do we even want to acknowledge what happened with Arkansas today?
No, we could adopt the mindset of their opponents and say we're biblical literalists and this isn't in the Bible, therefore it didn't happen.
I don't fall for the devil's machinations and counterfeits, so no. You can show me the smoke, but I'm not going to look at it, okay? Because sure. I know it
I didn't there. I didn't watch this game. I just watched God Forbid on Hulu, the documentary about Jerry Falwell. Instead of anytime Liberty football is on, just watch that.
You got the same experience.
Something I liked watching.
Should we talk? let's talk about the LSU since I brought them up. Let's talk about LSU.
You want to talk about LSU?
I do.
My Tigers, my beloved Tigers.
Brian Kelly's Tigers.
I'm just dandifiedly happy that my Tigers put forth such good effort.
Governor Brian Kelly's Tigers.
Mm-hmm. A chicken in every pot. A Cadillac in every driveway. A win against Alabama every year.
It's probably he like fucks it up by not knowing the animal that goes in the pot, right? Like,
yeah.
He says an animal Southerners ain't into.
Yeah, a pig.
I can't imagine what that would be now that I think about it.
A pig in every small 8-quart pot. You can shove the whole thing in there. That's how pigs work.
It's a pig in every cooler.
Actually, it's probably, yeah, that's it. A deer in every cooler that we just shot.
A possum in every microwave.
A 32-point buck.
He probably fucks it up by saying, like, vegetables in every salad. Boo!
Yeah.
I mean, mirepoix. Yay!
The kind of read I had on LSU before this was that they didn't make a whole lot of mistakes and they kept shit clean. Guess what? They don't make a whole lot of mistakes and they keep shit clean. And they stay level, and they don't really make it too easy on you. That's it. That's it. It's pretty simple football. On top of that, let's, like, bring out this. They got a couple of dudes, like, seriously good dudes. Lo and behold, let's give some credit to labor. Harold Perkins. If you have a name like Harold Perkins, all right, first of all, you're born 42. There's no way that you're not a 42-year-old man if your name is Harold Perkins. Second of all, Alabama, whose offensive line has been getting handled for what feels like 2 years. Easy. I don't know what the big change was, but like both Clemson and Alabama, in terms of the sick men of college football Europe, both of them have lost contain on their offensive lines at the same time. They don't dominate. They don't push people around anymore. All those guys go to Georgia now. That's evidently where they go, because that's how Georgia manages to beat people up so badly with a quarterback they picked up off the back of a truck behind the QT.
A truck with sick graphics.
A truck with absolutely sick graphics, right? That's why Kirby recruited him. He's like, that dude has the coolest truck.
Dang,
that's our QB.
Badass truck.
Yeah. Like, think about it. He's got like 22 other roster spots, 21 of them. Kirby Smart spent 90 hours of film watching them, getting their blood type, analyzing their DNA, being like, these are perfect. And he got to the QB, and he's like, I don't fucking care. Go get that badass dude with the truck from behind the QT. And it worked, because he's like, bet I'm going to be the greatest 5'5 quarterback in the history of the SEC.
Is he old? Old as hell, dog.
He's old as hell, dog. He can rent a car. Damn.
But he doesn't need to because he has a sick-ass truck.
Because he has a sick-ass truck, you know? Like ask him to chug a beer. Can he chug a beer? He can chug three beers at once.
He can't because he's old. He's too old to chug beer.
My lumbago.
It fucks up my sleep.
Like,
I got to be at work.
Stetson Bennett has real, like,
at the dealership.
Sick 60s quarterback smoking in the locker room vibes.
He does.
The Stetson Bennett discourse that obviously I have followed all year long. It's slowly starting to emerge. You're hearing it more and more. You're seeing it everywhere you go. There's a lot of people trying to talk themselves into various Heisman quarterbacks this year, making decent cases, you know. But I feel like you're all in denial. You're all going to come around. Like, it's not about who's the best. It's not about who has the best numbers. It's about who. Which story do sports writers like the most? Stetson Bennett's going to win the Heisman. I told y'all that months ago, and I don't know why it's taking you so long to believe me.
So
I'll give you the lead. You ready?
Yeah, yeah.
It's a word. People down here know it. You might hear it in the wind off the Okefenokee. Sometimes people say it at the diner where they get their eggs. We call it Swamp Wise. That's right. Stetson Bennett. Swamp Wise.
And that's what's written on the side of his truck.
That's
fucking sick.
That's what's written on the side of his truck. Championship quarterback. I just wrote the lead for your Hackney profile.
You.
Go ahead. Put it
you
in
You fucking
there.
Did it. Yeah. Can I interest you in a Jaden Daniels? Maybe?
Me? Me? Yes. Okay. Heisman voters? Yeah.
No. Okay. All right. Because...
I won't speak for Spencer, but I'm sorry, referring to Heisman voters at large.
After all, I am a Heisman voter.
Spencer's a Heisman voter. That's real.
Yeah, that's always weird to process. Yep. Spencer, I don't want you to take this the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
It's really changed how
I'm about to take it the wrong way.
It's really changed how I view the award.
See, here's the thing with the world, Ryan.
Yeah.
People die all the time.
Sure.
And there's nobody smart to take their place.
They have to be replaced by Spencer.
So you just eventually, if you just don't die,
you
get stuff.
No, yeah, you're
that's
right.
That's how it works.
You're right. I hear you.
Like you remember Prince Charles? That guy was an absolute doofus.
Hey, he had to fucking wait. He had to fucking earn it. My dude rode the bench for a long time.
He did a lot of not dying.
Do you know how much British Scout team he had to run? So much.
British Scout team. They don't run. Those people don't run.
Yeah, they had that. They had that dude like run a bureaucracy and like, you know, tiny little outpost.
Absolutely. He was like, Buckingham Palace was like, hey, the Queen has a meeting with Nepal next week and we need you to run. We need you to be Nepal in practice. He's like, fuck, I don't know their offense at all. This doesn't suit my strengths.
Why don't you go run a tea ceremony in Gibraltar, you ninny?
And he did.
He did. He did. So put in that work. Congratulations. You didn't die. That's how I'm a Heisman voter. Actually, that's not.
I mean, it's part of it.
It's part of it. Yeah.
If you had died, you would not be a Heisman voter, in my opinion.
People aren't replaceable, but chairs are.
Okay. So all I was going to say is, Jaden Daniels played his ass off tonight. Bryce Young was great, too. It's not that he wasn't, but, Jaden Daniels looked great. And it made me realize something, that this is going to kind of sound... This is going to kind of undermine the praise I just offered. One of the biggest differences to me about Alabama this year specifically, thinking about the last, what are we on, 13 years?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of changes for Bama over that time. Sometimes they're run heavy. Sometimes they have a dynamic quarterback. Sometimes they have, otherworldly receiving talent. Whatever. But the one thing that feels consistent throughout that whole time is the quarterback they face always, 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 always looks uncomfortable. Doesn't matter who it is. Doesn't matter how good he is. And the ones that don't, it's like extremely rare cases or maybe like too stupid to know he's in trouble.
Yeah.
But there have been several quarterbacks this year who didn't look that uncomfortable. Like Jaden Daniels played really well. But he wasn't running for his life most of the game. He had stretches where it was like, okay, he has time to sort of make decisions, decide what he wants to do with the ball. He still has to make the right one. He still has to make good throws. But, it's not – comparing it to how Hendon Hooker looked, which was deeply perturbed.
Having a very bad day.
How he looked today.
Yes, how Hendon Hooker looked today versus Georgia versus how Hendon Hooker looked against Alabama, or how Jaden Daniels looked against Alabama, or how Quinn Ewers looked before he got hurt for Texas against Alabama. Like, it's not the same thing. It's not the same, the ball is snapped and you are already fucked. That's not what happens anymore.
Yeah, in years gone by, for a quarterback to have a good day against Bama, it was like Chad Kelly bullshit, right?
Yeah, right. Or you had to be like, you had to be supremely physically talented on a level that not even they could handle.
But you also had to be a himbo, if we're being honest. You had to be like a physically talented himbo.
Yeah.
And now you can just be a good quarterback.
Or you could just be a regular attractive man. or woman, any person.
Yeah, yeah. Sure. We're inclusive. Jaden Daniels, they've done the funniest thing with him at LSU compared to what he was at Arizona State. At Arizona State, I remember Jaden Daniels being one read and run. And that running wasn't always forward or backwards. It was usually laterally. Like, Jaden Daniels is one of those quarterbacks, like, ever so gently, like continental drift, floating to the sideline. And it's great because LSU appears to have just completely reoriented him and gone, you have two gears, all right? Forward and more forward. That's it. Don't go sideways. Mm-hmm. Don't go sideways. Just go that way. And it's amazing because as a coaching point, it appears to have completely revolutionized his game. He's like, oh, what? I'm not going to. No, you can't. Like, I just imagine them putting bumpers out there between the hashes and being like him running into them and going, oh, no. Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's so much better.
I don't know if I've seen a player in the country this year, like, smiling more. Like, he's having a great time. Like, which it's pretty weird transfer to Brian Kelly's team and you're happy all the time, but life's funny sometimes.
This LSU team really requires you to forget that Brian Kelly is there.
Yeah.
If you want to enjoy it.
Yeah. Which.
Which I am.
He's been less caustic and explosive because he's very like brand conscious mm-hmm. conscious, you know. So that's nice, and like he got memed all summer long, so he sort of laying low, which is probably smart. Just keep doing that for everyone.
BJ Ojulari and Harold Perkins. That's it. Think about what absolute monsters they mm-hmm. are. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, by the way, Bryce Young. Yeah, you're amazing. This is the thing about Bryce Young. It'd be really cool if he had an offense where the things that they drew up worked.
Yeah.
They don't. They don't.
You say that, but like a lot of what makes Bryce Young fun is him having to work around that.
Oh, I'm not
it's
saying
not
it's
sustainable.
Not,
it's
I'm
not a good
saying
plan.
It's not fun.
He's going to do, you know, 3, 5, 7 of those type plays per game. It would be great if all the other plays were just regular, nice, functioning machine plays.
Right. You can't make the whole meal plan. Dad's making dinner.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you can't. Basically, what I'm saying is all of these plays are very, very cool. But if you try what they do in the adult videos in real life as your only move, no one's going to have a good time. Okay? No one's going to have a good time. There's a lot of basic keep the trains on schedule kind of shit that you have to do.
Well,
right?
The trains were what I was trying from the adult videos.
So Bill O'Brien, you need to let Bryce Young just make out for like half an hour, all right? That's the first drive we're going to script.
Bill O'Brien, you got to let that thing simmer. We got to get okay? Because you know this oven's got one setting, and it's not gonna win a whole lot of games.
Christ!
Do something crazy. Do something I've never tried before. Here we go. Everyone's watching.
It is. It's basically like, oh well, levels isn't open. I guess.
Finger in the butt.
I've never tried this before.
Finger in the two fingers. Go.
It has to happen. Also, I'm navigating around 7 people to get it there.
Yeah. It's,
it's complete. Oh, my God.
It worked. It worked. I knew it would work.
Yeah.
Now what?
They've just got Bryce Young out there without a script or help. That's really what they've got. And he can almost make it work. That's the most impressive thing about this offense is that Bryce Young can almost make this work, but he doesn't have a reliable, steady receiver, a go-to receiver. Right, like we're in a universe where Bryce Young, the most gifted quarterback, obviously, not only in the SEC but maybe in the nation, has no
Stetson erasure once again.
No one he can really go to. Right. Well, dude, we picked up behind a QT. I'm sorry, let's rephrase this. Really nice dude we picked up behind the QT with a cool truck has at least 2, if not 3, solid weapons that he can go to on every single down.
This is also Bo Nix erasure. 20 of 24. Yeah, that's right. 2 touchdowns, 2 receiving touchdowns, or 2 rushing touchdowns.
I refuse to believe this is real.
There's 1 receiving touchdown.
Getting it done in the bedroom is Bo Nix. He moved to the West Coast, and Everything just started working great.
Just matriculating that shit down the field.
Bo Nix is fucking
awesome. He's like leading the
now.
Country in all the passing numbers.
Yes.
And...
I mean, good for him, but it's a psyop. This
well,
is
sure.
Absolutely, yeah.
I mean, like someone earlier today was like, he's just like hands down the Heisman. I'm not fixated on the Heisman, but just someone mentioned Bo Nix is like your definite. I'm like, did week one not happen?
No,
am I going
yeah,
crazy
that
here?
That shit like, has to count for something.
Like, yeah, like the, I mean, it's
if you want
to
talk me into finalist, I'll go there. That's
sure.
Fine. And
I
don't,
love to
and
see
I
that.
Don't think the court, like, you have to give it to A, the quarterback, B, of the best team. Like, you don't have to stick.
Well, I think that because I have a bad offensive in it, but
that's right.
It's like, Bo Nix Heisman finalist. How many years did, like, was that a meme at Auburn? And, like,
sure.
It's, darn near almost
he's,
likely.
He's putting it all together. It's finally it's happening. He's a dark horse.
This is all a complete rebuke to the Southern lifestyle, right? Because Bo Nix goes somewhere where they're like, yeah, you should go outside more often because it feels good and not like Satan's sauna. And he's like, it is pretty nice out here, right? And they're like, yeah, you should probably just like, you know, play loose because it's just football and it's just part of one thing in life. And he's like, you're right. Oh, my God. I could go kayaking or some shit. I could look at a waterfall.
Yeah, you could, like, sleep in on Sunday morning. Who gives a shit? You know?
Don't go to church.
Yeah.
God knows
Stetson
you're there.
Bennett's crushing a chicken biscuit in his truck.
Yeah.
that he picked up on Saturday.
That's right.
Right? Like, he did the thing. He bought double Chick-fil-A on Saturday.
That's right.
That's how Georgia this man is. Before I forget, I wanted to mention back to LSU Bama. This result made a lot of people ask, is this blood week? Is this blood week? And I agree with Spencer that it's not quite there because, like, Tennessee, Georgia, that felt really big, but Georgia was like a significant favorite. LSU Bama, Bama's already lost a game, tried to lose several others. LSU was top 10. Clemson, okay, yeah, that counts.
Yep.
That's a big chip.
That
That's
one
a big,
definitely
big
counts.
Chip.
Yeah.
And then there's a few in the teens, but like, K-State losing to Texas, Texas was favored, right? Like, so, like, your case for blood week is, like, Clemson, Illinois.
Illinois, who we had in the playoff, you piece of shit.
Yeah, my playoff. Right. Literally all of my bowl projections are in tatters because of what Michigan State did to my line. Actually, that's not true. Some of them are more likely now. But
what is the shape of a stable beam you can build an entire building around? That's right, the eye.
The eye
beam, and it failed.
Yeah,
your engineering was sound. Fate was not. Okay.
Fucking 1 of 6 on fourth down, Illinois. You idiots.
From Edward Alexander on Twitter, he suggests we call this Blood Orange Week. Which I all right. Tennessee lost. Clemson lost. Illinois lost. Oklahoma State lost. Syracuse
hey, hey.
Lost, Oregon
I know
State
a,
lost.
I know an orange.
But
team
Texas
that didn't
beat
win.
Kansas State.
I know another orange team that won.
Oh! Is it time to hey? Speaking of bowl eligibility,
Texas A&M
lost to. Lost to an orange team.
It's you are down. You are down to the wire. Texas A&M now has to run the table. They have to beat Auburn, UMass, and LSU. They've lost 5 games for the first time since 1980, and now we're going to play a little game where I'm going to run you through the 1980 Texas A&M Aggies and the 5 games that they lost.
Hold on. Let's all do a lot of cocaine because it was 1980.
Yep.
Which, as we know, from 1980 to 1982, the high school classes that did the most drugs. If you were born
so full of
to
shit.
High schoolers sometime between 1980 and 1982 and you're wondering, why did I not do that well on the math test? That's why.
So full of shit. The survey data is like, no, we were incredibly cool. Nobody's ever.
I trust these numbers completely. I assume that the survey was
that exact
you had
data
to be doing those drugs at that moment, right? Like in front of the survey taker.
The data is like 5% of high school seniors are like, yeah, we did PCP this week. No, you didn't. You didn't.
I think it was 10%.
1980 Texas A&M. On the morning of October 11th, woke up 2-2, having gotten pummeled on the road by number 12 Georgia, who obviously went on to a very successful season that year as well, and having lost at home to Penn State, who also went on to a pretty good season. Then this is what they did: they lost to Houston in the Astrodome, 7-17. That was a 7-5 Houston team. They lost
in front of all of Texas.
Mm-hmm. They lost to number 13 Baylor. That Baylor team was pretty good. They went 10-2 that year. They lost that game 7-46. They lost to Rice 6-10.
Oh.
Was that a good Rice team? No. That there was a 5-6 Rice team.
It was after 1940, so.
Yes, no.
They lost to SMU 27-0. That yep. was a that makes an sense. Okay an okay SMU team.
This is right when SMU is starting to mash the gas.
And then they lost to Arkansas 24-27. That was not a great. That was a Lou Holtz Arkansas team.
Mm. Mm.
Compare that to losing to Mississippi State by 18, to Bama by 4, to South Carolina on the road by 6, to Mississippi at home by 3. And to Florida at home by 17. I think 1980 is worse because it has a 10-6 loss to Rice, but
worse
I'm
so
not
far.
Sure.
I think they also had the excuse of, again, being high on 10% of the team doing PCP.
PCP just, before kickoff. I think
might make you really good at defense.
You add in a loss at Auburn next week, and does that top a loss to Rice?
Yeah.
Cause, this Auburn, especially well, this Auburn.
The other thing we're not mentioning, nobody expected 1980 Texas A&M to be good.
Yeah, they weren't paying their coach, even adjusted for whatever the number were, anywhere near $100 million guaranteed.
Actually, that'd be amazing if we went and looked back and they were still paying their guy $95 million. They're
Tom,
like playing.
Tom
playing,
Wilson was fucking
exactly.
loaded, dude.
They're playing like they're paying some dude named Slappy Ferguson $95 million.
That's all the money in the world.
Yeah, and what's fucked up about this game? Texas A&M led this game 24-20 at the half. Had 300 yards of offense, despite having like a fifth of the team out with the flu.
They were playing really well. They were playing well.
They were playing well, and also Florida was doing a bunch of dumb shit.
Yeah, baby.
And then they just didn't score again?
So remember that prior to Connor Wegman getting reps last week and scoring a bunch of points and throwing 4 touchdowns, that the joke was that they had not scored more than 24 points in like a year and a half. And then they scored more than 24. And do you know where they topped out and just stopped scoring against Florida? 24 points. That's it. Haynes King was in there. They stopped at 24 and they were like, cap, out of points.
God.
Too bad. There was a run by Anthony Richardson, who had a very nice game in this game, where he went around the corner. He was on a boot. And he was going to throw, and he had levels. And he looked at one level, and he was like, no, I'm going to go a little bit further. And he went a little bit further toward the sideline, and he was like, I think I'm going to get like 3 or 4 yards. Surely someone will come tackle me. And he got about 3 or 4 yards down the field, and he was like, seems pretty lonely out here. Think I'll just continue moseying up looking for a friend. Didn't find anyone. Just like 60-yard TD run, just straight up the sideline. Nobody touched him.
So these are the teams in Texas that are bowl eligible right now. I think I have them all. TCU, Texas, Baylor, all eligible from the Big 12. UTSA and North Texas from Conference USA. Rice is one win away.
Wow.
Rice is significantly closer than Texas A&M is. UTEP still got to win 2 games, so they're not knocking on the door quite yet. Have I left anybody out? I don't think I have.
I want to talk about a team that took a big step towards bowl eligibility.
Sure.
Towards
Texas State is 3-6, so they're Texas State and Texas A&M are in the same fucking boat. Shit.
Mm-hmm. In fact, two teams. One of them is 5-4 after tonight, and the other one is 5-4. So with their next win, they will attain bowl eligibility. And I hope both of them reach that because they participated in a piece of NCAA history tonight. That is correct. I am talking about Houston at SMU.
Oh God.
A 77-63 victory for the SMU Mustangs.
Basketball season already.
Jason, if I told you that Tanner Mordecai, SMU's quarterback, threw 9 touchdowns, how many pass attempts do you think he had?
19.
That would be really awesome.
Spiritually, you were right. 37 is the answer.
Okay.
Every fourth pass was a touchdown. That's bad. Shouldn't let that happen.
Counterpoint. That's fucking awesome. Way to go, Tanner Mordecai.
David Klingler holds the record with 11 passing touchdowns. He did that in 1990, and he needed 58 passes to do it.
I love games like this where the opposing quarterback also has an amazing game and still loses. In this case, I am talking about Clayton Toon, the quarterback for Houston, who has to be so goddamn tired right now because he threw for 527 yards, 7 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. So he got a bit of yardage in, a bit of cardio in, chasing those down, I imagine. And was Houston's leading rusher with 111 yards on 12 carries and a score. He accounted for 8 TDs by himself, and he lost. I'm delighted. This is so good. They had a combined 65 first downs between them. They had they had 1,352 yards of offense between the two teams. That's amazing.
And the bulk of this was in the first half.
Yeah.
Like
they slowed down.
God damn. They did. They did slow down out of the other team that slowed down today. God, I'm just gonna bring this up briefly. So Florida State obliterated Miami. Yeah. Absolutely obliterated. And this is when I knew that I should turn the television off. I remember it so crystal clear. Miami is near midfield on their side, facing like a 4th and 5. There are 11 minutes left in the second quarter. At that point, I want to say they're down 21-3. Again, there are 41 minutes of game left. And Greg McElroy, of all people, says, well, you got to wonder if this isn't the point where you have to start going for it on 4th. With 41 fucking minutes left in the game. And based on the final score, 45-3, he was right. They should have been going for every 4th down. What would it have mattered? They got absolutely tuned up in this game, and Florida State completely pulled way back.
I would, looked this up because I thought I had hallucinated it, and I had not. Your preseason ACC Heisman front runner. Like, which quarterback in the ACC, which, you know, coming into the season, there was a pretty good supply of, you know, rich quarterbacking talent to choose from in terms of prospective postseason awards.
Yep.
Tyler Van Dyke. It was Tyler Van Dyke.
I felt betting. So he barely played in this game. And when he did, it was, I legit felt bad for him. He
grim.
Looked so hurt and so physically incapable of being out there, but he was trying, you know, he wanted to try, but I mean, this is the fucked up thing about it. 2 years ago, and I know the COVID year doesn't super count for a variety of reasons. It's just a different time, et cetera, et cetera. 2 years ago, Miami won this game by a score of 52-10.
Yeah.
And now they're just getting destroyed.
Yeah.
I
think the one interesting fact about Miami is they're like half of A&M's power conference wins. Like that's half of what A&M's hanging their hat on. The so looking at this, the historical record, this is the worst Miami team. Like unless they really turn things around, you have like the 2017 that went 5-7, but wasn't horrible. You have like the 97 team that went 5-6, but wasn't terrible. This is, I think you can make a strong case, it is the worst Miami team since before Schnellenberger. And even like some of Miami's horrible 70s teams that won like 2 games, they were playing like incredibly difficult schedules, like top 10 teams every week. Like the 77 team is playing, you know, it's like, yeah, they got their ass whooped, but they're playing Ohio State, Penn State, Bama, and Notre Dame. This is possibly the worst Miami team since the fucking 60s.
Their only FBS wins are over the 2 Virginia schools, who are both bad this year, and they're both, like, narrow, ugly wins.
Yeah.
Sorry, they're only Power 5 wins. They beat Southern Miss as well. But, yeah, this is... Look, I get that it was a decision to rebuild, and, you know, the recruiting has shown some promise, and maybe this year just doesn't fucking mean it. And on the other side of this, Florida State got off to a terrible start under Mike Norvell. So it might, maybe it truly does not matter, but this year it is quite bad. It is.
Oh, the other thing is, speaking of this game, the LSU as a title contender or whatever. That like complete bullshit FSU LSU game in week one that, mm-hmm. you know, it sort of like registered as like a pre overreaction kind of game. Like, oh, we're going to make too much of this. But then we like, know it all smart about it. We better not make too much of this. Well, now look, it's one of the most important games of the year because otherwise LSU would be like a title, at very least the SEC's number two title favorite, if not for one of the dumbest games of the year. Everything matters, folks.
I've come to a this is not really related except that they do play Miami next week. Georgia Tech has more wins than Texas A&M this year.
No.
Georgia Tech is 4-5.
Do they have as many wins since firing their head coach as A&M has this year?
Yes.
Maybe there's the solution.
And honestly, they've beaten Pitt and Duke. And that's probably better than A&M's best two wins.
Yeah, those are two bowl teams, right?
I think Pitt is. I don't remember if Pitt's bowl.
Yeah, Pitt's 5-4. Just beat Syracuse. They still get to play Miami. So,
God, that's just wretched
market.
That's so bad.
Listen.
Pat Narduzzi, anti-football, his way into a bowl game.
I know it's very worn out at this point to be like, nobody's at the Miami game. Nobody's going to be at that last Miami game at home hosting Pitt. Absolutely nobody.
We got to see if Pitt makes the Mayo Bowl.
Fuck.
That'll bring him out. Mayo Bowl's no longer in here, I don't think.
I'm stunned at how... What on earth do you sell Miami fans on based on any of this?
I actually think that's not a worry. I think you just say, like, this team is super beat up. This is not about this year at all. And who cares? Like, it's not that different from what Florida has done this year. Florida's what, one win better? Has played, you know, a reasonably tough schedule. But, like... I think in both of those cases, these are good examples of like, yeah, the first year really doesn't matter. The year after that, well, you can't be this bad in year two. you can't be this feckless in year two.
Damn.
But this year it doesn't matter.
Busted out feckless.
Got hit with feckless.
I mean.
It is the correct word. It's real bad.
Yeah, they ain't got no fecks.
Yeah, no. Not one feck in the building. Hey, buddy, feck you.
Also bowl eligible now? After basically leaking, if he loses to Virginia, we'll fire him. Louisville has ripped off four wins and is now 6-3 and bowl eligible.
It turns out he's a beloved coach. His players are rallying for him.
They still have to play at Clemson, home against NC State, at Kentucky. So like this might have been the very last way to get to it. But man, he really took that. He really was motivated by that. I gotta say,
he's going back to App State, man. That's what's happening.
It's not impossible. Looking at the end of the schedule here,
That's my favorite thing. That Louisville is like we were looking at like at the beginning of the season. It was like, hey, listen, let's just end this. Both of us won out. We won out. Now, like it's just like we can't get rid of you.
Now Louisville's like, oh, he agreed to go to therapy with me. Fuck, I can't end it. God damn it!
Oh, damn it! I like his new haircut.
He's
doing
it just to spite me.
He wants out too. I do. I just keep showing up for this.
Elsewhere in the ACC, I just want to note, I feel vindicated for never believing in Syracuse, and I just will never do that.
Still maintain.
I'm just completely fine being a Syracuse denier.
Does Syracuse really rewarding? Does it? It hurts me when you do that, Jason, as a Syracuse supporter.
If Syracuse is 10-0, I'd be like, no, that's fake.
They're gonna pull this together. We're gonna right the ship. Gonna get back to the winning bullshit football that got us this far.
My favorite early game was Ohio State Northwestern. It was it was an extremely Northwestern game. It was like 7-0, 7-7 for like just grand stretches of the time.
All the weather sliders were set yes. full.
Yes. The weather continually got worse and worse and worse. And Northwestern fans were sort of like, it could be viewed as ironically cheering the bad weather, but like, no, they were very sincerely aware that like the shittier this gets, the better for us.
Yes.
Because the closer it is to Pat Fitzgerald's personal brand of anti-football.
It's like, I can beat this bear if we fight in an aquarium.
Yeah. Bears can't
swim.
Get wet,
bear! Get wet!
How do you beat Ohio State?
They eat salt
bears
water.
Can't swim. it makes them bloated and sleepy. But so the comfy. Best shit was Northwestern's players. There was a point where like the rain really picked up and Northwestern's players started cheering like a really hype song just came on the PA or something, or like they just got reinforcements or like Stone Cold just ran in to back them up. Fuck yes. It sucks out here.
Did you see the footage of Brutus getting his ass beat by the wind out there?
Again?
Imagine as bad as it was normally, putting on a 3-foot-wide mascot head and wading out into that.
He's
like,
real
top-heavy. It's got to be like wearing a sail.
Brutus gets it a lot. Like, Brutus got beat up by the Ohio Bobcat. He got beat up in the rollyball thing earlier this year. Nature took him out.
I'm trying to send a message.
Brutus, man. Brutus needs to hit the weights.
But he does have very skinny legs, which I can't imagine Ohio State fans are okay with.
Oh, bro. Ugh.
Bro. No.
We're going to put some fucking JNCOs on Brutus, bro.
Yeah. we need to beef them shits up. He's got a couple of pipe stirrers right there.
So I will say, I mentioned that seeing Brutus with the umbrella made me wonder like how well one could swim in various mascot costumes. And I got the following response from Mr. Andy Reed. My cousin was walking to class in East Lansing once. And she looked over the Red Cedar River Bridge and looked down to see Sparty rowing a canoe by himself. It didn't look like it was a part of any bigger thing, just a giant warrior enjoying a nice afternoon on the river.
Just seeing what the Persians were up to with their whole aquatic.
I did see the Hawks mascot in Atlanta once just driving around on a moped. Like,
that makes sense.
Full on just chilling on a moped. Like, there was no event. There was no nothing. He was just... I think they were like, yeah, we don't have anything for you to do today. Why don't you just go like die in traffic? And he was like, cool.
Yeah, mascots are people. Depending on the season, that might have been preferable.
This is where I know that among the mascot heads of lore and all of the things that have been done while wearing the mascot costume, I know for a fact that somebody has had sex while wearing Sparty's head. I just want to remind everybody of this.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody has.
What about Sparty's arms?
That's. I imagine that's probably more common. But a arm. Put them on.
I'm gonna look so fucking sick.
Looks so jacked, bro.
In terms of is this Blood Week, I think USC and UCLA are closing the door on that. They're both
significantly
entering in the second half.
Northwestern outgained Ohio State. Whatever.
This game was it was a weird fucking game. It was like they were constantly like getting nearish midfield, which you wouldn't expect them to do, right? Whereas Ohio State was kind of like every drive was all or nothing, so like they made their yards count. The one of the best parts was when the weather really got very strange and was like aiding Northwestern punts significantly, like just whapped an 80-yarder wind-aided punt. It was the most Roger Sherman shit I've ever seen in my life. Like, they might beat Ohio State because their punts are doing crazy stuff.
It's at last. My vision has come true. I can't believe we've gone this far. If you've made it to 12:37, waiting to hear about the most important football story of the day, and I'm like, when are they going to talk about it? When are they going to get to it? Oh, my God. I can't believe they're putting this up. We're finally putting out right now. I'm going to go ahead and give it up. Unleash the Dragon! Iowa Hawkeyes 24, Purdue 3. Taste the vengeance of Spencer Petras. 192 blazing yards through the air.
I love that. What was it? It was like 3 or 4 weeks ago, and Ryan was like, is he ever going to top 200 yards again or whatever? And like,
no!
The day when they score 24, it's like, nope.
It's simply unnecessary. I won't be doing it.
How many did we need? 192 and not a yard less or more. That's right. Bombs! Spencer Petras dropping fucking nukes on the Purdue defense.
They're bombs. They're like cartoon bowling ball with the fuse bombs. You know, lots of going on.
It's just great because, like, it's not that the offense is per se fixed.
No.
But you know Kirk Ferentz is like, this is what it's supposed to – see? I told you this is what it was supposed to look like. This is perfect.
Vindication. We beat Purdue.
Purdue should not have only – oh, boy.
Yeah. Yeah. By the – yeah. So just one thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Haters. Take note.
Uh-huh.
That's all.
Okay.
Iowa, Nebraska. That's still penciled, circled. That's still the – you know, the it's not as sicko as it could have been, but still very excited for that game.
That's the dumbest shit, man. It's so dumb. We have a little fascinating thing about Ladd McConkey, by the way, from friend of the program, Ben. Do you know where Ladd McConkey wanted to play football and where all his family went?
Wales.
Close. Also, a rocky place where many people hide underground. That is correct. Tennessee. Ladd McConkey's entire family are. Yeah.
Wow.
And do you know, and he wanted to be there. And according to Ben, the recruiting at UT wanted him there too. Guess who said no? Guess who said no? It was like
Captain Asparagus himself.
That's right, Jeremy Pruitt. Little mini foamer was like,
I don't want lads. I want men. You come back when you're man McConkey, you hear me?
He doesn't even have a cool truck.
Yeah, somehow this logic doesn't work for him, but it does work for Kirby.
Yep. Yeah. One more team. Listen, this happened much earlier in the week. UConn is one win away from bowl eligibility.
We're so close.
We're getting there.
We're going to do it.
We're getting there.
It's so fucking close, man. It's going to be so good.
The tricky thing is I'm not exactly sure if they have a home, even if they
doesn't matter
they do pull it off.
Doesn't matter. Print the shirts either way.
Eligibility is all we care
that,
about.
The shirt just says bowl eligible. It doesn't say played in a bowl. It doesn't say invited to a bowl.
Doesn't say
it, bowl
it doesn't
eligible.
Say want a bowl.
Eligible.
That's right.
All it says is bachelorhood.
That's right.
That's right. That's right. I'm out here. That's all that matters.
I'm out here. I put myself out there.
Did you put yourself out there? No, man. We declined the invite. But, you know, zero numbers gotten. But, you know, I feel good about tonight.
I'm talking to some bowls.
Yeah.
What bowl you play? She goes to
She lives in Canada. She lives in Canada. It's the International Bowl. You probably haven't heard of her. She hasn't been around for a few years.
More of an online thing. UConn's really just been sitting at home playing Final Fantasy VII again.
Yeah, it's the remaster.
Yeah, you know, you wouldn't know it. You know, you gotta know if you know.
Weekly Nebraska mention. I think the mention that has happened was insufficient. Stat from Max Olson: every Power Five program has been to a bowl game since 2017, except for two, Kansas and Nebraska. One of those is going to change this season. We're down to just Nebraska.
It's amazing.
Also, amazing. A note on Twitter. Maybe the last cool thing that ever happens on Twitter. The following words are trending: Roll Tide. What? Of course, the response is "fuck you."
Did we forget anything at all in our vast survey of everything that happened today?
Air Force won the Commander in Chief Trophy. That hadn't happened in a while, if memory serves.
Yeah, they have planes. TCU still undefeated,
and TCU is almost certainly going to be in the top four of the playoff now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they'll probably have a chance to rank ahead of Clemson and Bama now, as they already should have.
Are they this year zero?
We thought Clemson played in a tough road environment showed metal at the end. Our fourth quarter metrics are really
Clemson
what we
has a top 10 defense and a top 30 offense. We watch every game.
Let's make sure to.
We thought Texas Christian University was insufficiently. aggressive on the piety matrix compared to Clemson.
We watched the game, and they do not have a top 10 defense.
Like the way
send
the
our
fucking
biggest nerd, our biggest fucking nerd out to talk to
the
public about football.
The way the committee spokespeople talk is like they talk like kids who are looking at the back of a like sports card for the first time, right?
No,
like
that's not what I actually relate to it a lot, because what the playoff committee is doing when they do the press conference is they're explaining to a child, it's just because I said so.
Right.
I don't want to explain why, because I know my reason isn't very good or consistent. I just don't want you to do that, and I want you to stop asking me.
Do you want to get to McDonald's?
The child is the one looking for like rigid consistency
yes.
and logic, and like
yes.
you said, I could go to bed at 9:30, but I'm going
yes.
to bed at 9:20.
Right.
Why? Answer
because
the goddamn
I have diarrhea
question.
Right now, and I don't want to tell you that. And
because
that's
I'm
why
on
Clemson's
ESPN.
In the top four.
Alabama is where it is because it is easy to put Alabama there.
Yeah,
because
Daddy has to poop. That's why.
But Mom, you said,
listen,
if TCU won all their games, they could come over.
Mommy has a hangover.
I know what I said. But
I watch all the games, and I have a hangover, so you'll let me do what I want.
Listen, Mom doesn't trust TCU's game control. Mm-hmm. All right?
Does yeah. that have anything to do with the fact that Mommy slept 3 hours last night? Mommy was up watching the latest season of Great British Bake Off? Yes. Yes.
No, I don't think we missed anything. If we did, there's nowhere else to listen to it because there's no other college football podcasts.
And
there's no other Twitter, so
yeah,
rapidly running out of options, folks.
Yeah. Shouts out to the App State fan who showed up at the Texas A&M.
Oh my god.
Just to make sure they're dead.
Like yeah. like to be clear, the best explanation is that guy never left, right?
Mm-hmm. It's my,
yeah, no,
it's my house now.
Walls.
I'll leave when you whoop me.
Yeah. Yeah. According to a couple of people on my timeline when I posted that, they're like, yeah, I just walked past him. He's a real dick.
Good. He should be.
He should. Yeah. You know why? That's his stadium.
maybe you should show some gratitude that he lets you in there.
Hey, yeah. I'm your wife's new boyfriend. Why don't you go to the grocery store and get me some lunch?
Yeah, imagine
your
being
your
like,
kids call me dad.
My wife's new boyfriend is kind of a dick. Well, yeah. That's did you expect to get along with him?
Yeah, did you think that was
going to
work?
I mean, that arrangement is a thing, but if he's a surprise to you, that's probably not going to happen.
Yeah. It's like this guy's having sex with my wife. Well,
that's well, you know what?
In an App State shirt.
Yeah.
A&M's not going to be good until Jimbo embraces polyamory. I think that's the missing piece here. That's where it all went wrong at FSU, if we remember correctly.
It's called 12th Man, Jimbo.
Yeah. I really wanted to get through this without making fun of Jimbo. That's a lot.
Why?
Well, cuz you know, you got to keep the good stuff fresh. You don't want to drag it out every week.
Not
right?
at A&M, you don't. You can just trot out the same bullshit 5 weeks in a row. It seems.
We better get used to this shit, man. It's like what? 8 years left on the contract? We're going to do
right,
this
so,
every week forever.
I don't know if you saw it today, but like he's trying to make a call on the sidelines. And he's got a whole fucking spiral notebook in his hand, like a whole entire spiral notebook and a folder. And then there's a play sheet on top of it.
They won't run my system. My beautiful system. They massacred my boy.
He totally looked like every junior lawyer in every movie about New York in the 80s. Right. Like he's got to show up for his first date. He's like, oh, spilling papers everywhere.
Opening the briefcase.
The judge looking at him like,
oh, no, my jelly beans.
Yeah, exactly. Do you have a law degree? I do. Sit
I
down,
just
counselor.
There's lots of like, I just misplaced my, and he's patting his sport coat. Like, if you just,
it's like,
if I could just have 15 minutes to run home and grab the paperwork.
It's like we're in the world's worst meet cute with him every single time he appears on camera, right? Like, whoa, my papers.
They should just put him in a mech suit covered in playbooks.
They could afford it. They should do this. They could.
That's it. There aren't enough. You know what? The problem is there's not enough plays. If those aren't winning, you need more plays.
That evidently, those are the wrong plays. So for next year, we're going to have twice as many plays.
We're going to have to make 100, maybe 500 more plays.
Who knows how many plays there might be.
I'm just going to keep calling them until one of them works. That's what we're going to do.
Well, you see what's happening with the old plays. Of course, can't throw them out because sometimes they work.
I better keep them all.
My precious minerals. Like, that's him. Just what the fuck, dude?
He's a hoarder of plays.
There are people who call offenses without a fucking note card, and he's over there with my entire seventh grade locker in his arms.
Earth sciences wins a lot of football games. You don't know that.
I'm not saying it's not that hard. I'm just saying your symptoms could be a little more elegant, buddy.
All right, we're going to wad it up gym shorts. That's what we're going to try this time.
All right, defenestration of Prague on three. 1, 2, 3.
Here's a note from a girl named Anna. We're going to try that.
All right, got the yearbook here and the yearbook order form. Which one you want to run, y'all?
Here's bubblegum that's been there since 1964.
Like the Peyton Manning Colts offense ran like 7 plays. They ran like 7 plays, and Jimbo's like, nah. I'm going to take these 5 stars.
Yeah, Peyton never beat Florida either, though.
That's right.
So what's the answer to all the plays or no plays? There's nothing perfect. So
God, the minute he gets his hands on a TI-85, boy.
It's over.
College football is going to change.
85, that's not enough plays.
I need TI-95. That's how many millions I got.
That's how many plays I got, 95 million.
I had somebody...
lost to Miami on Drug Wars. Shit.
No, you didn't. No one loses to Miami this year.
Is Miami in Drug Wars, is that tutorial level or final boss level?
Well, you know, if some schools are basketball schools, Miami is a Drug Wars school.
Yeah. Miami's esports team since 1994.
Hey, you guys are playing a game when you're doing that hacking the government thing, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's definitely
a game.
A fun, silly game.
Yeah. I was just looking at that, and I was like, man, we fucked up. We should have gotten into a better grift.
Apparently, Cal just scored, but it's still a 13-point game.
Again, I only believe Cal when it hits 60 minutes and they've won. That's it. Everything else before then is just twiddling. It's just the universe twiddling its fingers. Cal fans will appreciate this. They know I'm right.
Yeah.
All right, y'all. We've reached, I believe, the end of another successful and flawless Full Cast After Dark. Congratulations for Brian Ferentz for having sex and unleashing the full power of the Iowa offense.
Was he the one who had sex in the Sparty Hut?
No. Because that was many years ago. And if that had been the case...
Michigan State also scored more points than usual, so I think... Sparty himself had sex.
Yeah. Sparty was rowing that canoe to go get some ass. That's what he was doing. He's doing what all people in Michigan do. They're like, I gotta go get laid. Get in a canoe. Go get some ass.
Is it like everyone has to mate with someone on the other side?
It's an old French trapper tradition, right? You go out in the yellow canoe. The yellow canoe is the sexy canoe.
Oh, jeez, I'm boat horny.
Yeah.
I'm heading up to the UP.
That's why they call it.
To get some for my pee-pee.
Yeah, that's why they don't call it, like, you know, like going out or, like, you know, looking for smash. They call it crabbing the oar. That's a famous Michigan saying.
Is that what row the boat is supposed to mean?
It means something
the Minnesota
way different
variation
in Minnesota.
It means
crazy stuff in Minnesota. Right.
Yeah, don't just trot that out in a Minnesota bar and be like, yeah, you're rowing the boat. They'd be like,
easy.
One person down the bar is like, you're rowing the boat tonight.
It's Easter. Calm down.
Yeah, jeez.
I think that's illegal.
I've only bought you 7 drinks. Let's at least wait till drink 11.
It's breakfast.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for joining us. Good night, y'all.
Was that the most stable the space has been?
It might have been.
It might have been, man.
It was actually pretty rough solid tonight.
Elon fired whoever fucked up the space.